Welcome to Pastor Aggressive Podcast. Real life, real faith, real talk.
There's a real good chance. Real good chance. What?
Real bald.
I'm always bald. Did you shave
Wait,
your head today?
We don't have cameras anymore, but also I'm real bald.
No, you didn't really shave your head. I mean, did you get a haircut even? You look the same as you did. No. You look the exact same as you did yesterday, honestly. There's a real good chance we're going to get interrupted because the door is open and my children are upstairs. It's inevitable.
Gotta let Jesus take the wheel, man. We'll be all right. Yep. Speaking of taking the wheel.
Jesus take the podcast.
I know you want to know about my week.
I do. I actually want to hear all about your week. I'm going to drink this white monster because, you know, self-care.
The most prevailing thing on my mind is I'm going to Cincinnati this weekend.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
I'm going to play Dungeons & Dragons this weekend. That's with strangers.
Cool. That's pagan. I'm going to go see my boy Tanner, man, go visit his family. Probably go to church out there. I think he wants me to. But
send me the address so that I know where to ship your stuff when you decide that you're just going to live there on a whim.
Yeah, right. Not until I'm done with this bathroom remodel.
Okay, well, he'll see you in 6 years.
There is a slight unfortunate circumstance to this whole thing. I'm on call this weekend, and I forgot.
Oh, that's interesting.
Speaking of letting Jesus take the wheel, I'm really hoping that I don't get a call.
Brother, I don't know if this is... You sound like you're talking about prosperity gospel over there, because I don't know if that's really how this works.
I don't know, but the thing is, I'm not like just going, you know, to have a good time. I think I need to do this, bro. And I've been trying to schedule it with him. I thought that I had to watch your kids this weekend, so I had already planned this weekend to go, and then Tiffany brought that thing up, and then I misheard it. And then I canceled on him, and then I was going to do next weekend. And then I found out you guys actually need me to watch them next weekend.
Yes.
So I had to cancel on that again. I'm like, all right, bro, let's just do it this weekend.
Okay.
But I'm
on
call.
I bet he loves that.
No, he hates that.
He
dude.
Seems like a real loves a good wishy-washy friend kind of guy.
Bro, he has a calendar.
No,
he does.
I know.
Reminders.
I know he does. Well, I remember we had him on the podcast one time, and like just scheduling that was like very much like, this time, this place, let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good. I like
that. And I'm just not mature enough for that yet.
Yeah, I commend someone who's like that. I'm not either, so.
Yeah, I think that's why we work so well together.
Yeah, because we're just like, hey, you want a podcast right now? Sure, why not?
We don't even know what we're talking about.
We have no idea.
Let's do it.
You literally were like, tell me about, let's podcast about mystery. Speaking of white monster, it's like the white mystery airhead. What does that even mean?
I don't know. I think that's just cherry flavored.
Yeah. So we're just going to talk. We're just going to talk about theological cherry flavor, or something.
The blood of Jesus. Wait.
No, that's grape.
The Eucharist.
Flavored. That's grape flavored, oh, okay. My friend.
Wait. Why do we do grape anyway?
Well,
yeah.
Because the grapes of the vine.
This is some Protestant BS, dude. I don't want to hear this. Yeah, bro. So I'm excited to go do that. I'm super excited, but my week's been pretty normal. I've been so busy, bro, and I'm just whooped.
Yeah.
Every day I come home, I just sit here and I play this new game I got where I mine rocks and defend waves against shadow monsters, and I watch Netflix.
Dude, that is the game that Tiffany and the kids play all the time. That's just like that Roblox game they play.
Bro, I ain't playing Roblox. First of all, if I got on Roblox, I'm automatically on the sex offender list. And second of all, well, I did play Lumber Tycoon. You know what that is?
No.
You chop trees and you sell the wood. Anybody out there listening, Wyatt, if you're listening, you know what I'm talking about.
That's what they're doing. They're chopping trees and then defending from cultists. That's all they do in this game.
See, that's weird. These guys are just shadow monsters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cultists, that's weird, but shadow monsters. You sound like me defending Dungeons and Dragons.
But yeah, I've just been super busy. But honestly, I feel good, bro. Like, I'm waking up on time. Hardly this morning, Warner came down.
Oh, dude, I had to save your butt.
Not really, bro. I was already awake, and I was just doing that thing where I'm like, I'll get up at 7:10. I'll get up at 7:20. Get up at 7:30.
Yeah.
And then you're, like, standing there, and I have no pants on underneath my covers. So I'm, like, waiting for you to go around the corner so I can put my pants on.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, we're having a whole entire conversation.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what we talked about. I mean, I don't even think
you're
I was
just like,
alive
man, I'm really
point.
Worried about my pants situation right now.
But yeah, bro, I'm doing good, man. Nothing really too exciting to report on. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
What are you up to?
I had a really busy week this week. We were updating some of the media stuff at the church, which has, by default, me being a young pastor, that the anything that has to do with technology kind of comes down to me.
Yeah.
But no, I had a couple of the older guys helping me out. Some of my trusted trustees who do anything and everything that I ask, just kind of like helping with physical labor, hanging TVs and all this stuff. But then my job was, you know, to make sure that I got some strong guys to help us lift this big, heavy TV, which you think flat screens are not heavy, but once they reach a certain size, they become heavy again.
Yeah.
So we're lifting this big screen that's replacing like our projector or whatever. And it was heavy and it was difficult, but it went together really quickly. But then all this week I've been messing with like trying to get all of the computer for like the song lyrics and the sermon slides and everything to communicate with said TV.
Yeah.
And then also with the back monitor that's like supposed to help you while you're on stage. And it's been complicated and I'm trying to get that figured out. But
what are you guys buying your second building?
Nah, dude, I'm not doing any of that. But it was cool though, because in the midst of this, sometimes I get caught up in the chaos of everything and like, I'm so like anti, I don't like, I'm not a big like attendance numbers guy. You know this, that I just really don't like, if it were up to me, we wouldn't even count, but I've dialed that back a little bit and I'm like, all right, well, let me see the purpose of it and like what's the good we can get from knowing how many people we've had in the past, where we're going in the future, yada yada yada, you know, all that stuff. But mostly I'm just like, I don't even think about that stuff. But today was really cool because I had a pastor's meeting with several friends of mine, and some of them, their churches are also growing, and we got to like celebrate together, and that was really cool. But then there were some other pastors there that are like from really, really, really small churches. And it just kind of reminded me of like, I'm familiar with that feeling, and I'm so blessed to be where I'm at now. But like they were talking about the struggles that they have with just like, when they have a, you know, 25 to 30 people and, you know, five people leave or something, that's a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And
I bet it's hard for them to get big TVs.
yeah, probably. It'd take the entire church to lift it. but no, it was just really a blessing to me to be like reminded, like, hey, this is awesome that I get to do this, and that my problems are these kind of problems. You know what I mean? Like that's really cool. You know, it's like when your struggles are, you're just winning. You know, that's all.
Do you think it's more challenging?
My struggles are, I ain't got really any struggles. You know what I'm saying?
My struggle is that I can't find a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah, you get it.
You know what I'm saying, blood?
You get it.
Do you think it's more challenging now that you have more people, or less challenging? Or different?
Different challenging. The big challenges with more people is...
How do you keep them all entertained?
No. Well, that's the thing, is I don't really worry about entertainment. I'm just preaching.
How do I get them to listen to announcements?
How do I get them to listen to announcements? Spoilers, the answer is you can't. They never will. But anyway, no. I think the biggest challenge in it, one of the biggest challenges, is being able to have a personal interaction with every single person that comes in. You know, and making sure that because a lot of times I will be doing something else, or, you know, and I like to be at the door greeting with the elders and the deacons and stuff, but sometimes I'll have to run and do something and I'll miss somebody coming in, and maybe I'll miss him going out, and then, you know, they might think, oh, he didn't want to talk to me or whatever. And that, so there's struggles like that. And then, you know, it's also sometimes a struggle when we're making plans and you're trying to do things that, not to please everybody, but make sure that everybody's at least, you know, comfortable with what you're doing. But then not everyone comes to the meetings, and then you make a decision, and then somebody's like, well, I don't really like that. It's like, well, I can't please everyone, but also come to the meeting. and tell us there that you don't like it before we make the decision or something, you know? Those are the things that are the struggles, I think, with the growing pains or whatever.
Do you think a church can get too big?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What do you think the cutoff point for that is?
I don't want to, like, alienate some, like, huge church that's really doing good, because I know there are some that do. But for me personally, and I think it probably does really depend on your leadership team and who's pastoring the church and that kind of thing. But for me personally, I think anything above 250 would be difficult to, like, too difficult to manage the way that I like to interact with people.
What you're talking about makes me think of, like, when I first started going to church with your dad. This is like what we talk about when, you know, you pray for somebody on the street, or, you know, you're trying to get somebody who's a Christian. I've experienced this a lot, to start going to church. Yeah. And, you know, at first I really needed your dad, like, to be the person I was going for or to be with. You know right. what I mean? And if there was even 100 people in your dad's church, it would have been hard for me. You know, I followed him around like I was his, like, scribe or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it would have been hard for me to do that if he had to also manage all these other people. But instead, yeah. he had these people that were, like, that he's already done that for
yeah.
in his church. Yeah. You know, so eventually it just gets, I feel like it just gets out of hand. And there's that argument where it's like, wouldn't you want all the Christians to commune in one place? You know, and I was like, I think, you know, maybe that's a good point, but maybe that's also impossible.
And on an earthly perspective, that's impractical.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not, just not possible.
I think this is the point of having bishops and priests and, you know, things like a hierarchy, because that's almost the, is it Jacob or Moses?
Moses, yeah.
Where he has, like, people under him yeah, who are Jethro, also leading.
Jethro tells him that he needs to have people that are over. And the interesting thing about that is, he sets it up so that there's people over different amounts of people depending on what they can handle, which yeah. which kind of sets a precedent for what we're talking about, that there are that big churches can function and do really good, and so can small churches. But basically, there's some people that are put over like 1,000 people. There's some people put over 100 people. Some people put over 50 people, and some people put over 10 people.
Yeah,
and so. You know, there's
even Jesus reiterates that. I can't remember what parable it was, dude. I just read it, but I think it was the parable of sowers, maybe.
Where he gives people different amounts.
At the end of it, he says some people will have 10.
Yeah.
And that made me feel a little comfortable, you know, because everybody wants to be a pastor. Everybody yeah. wants to be a street preacher or something like that. But also, like, I'm not, like, limiting myself or anything. You know, I'm going to name it and claim it, but.
Like a good prosperity gospel guy.
But that yeah. was an interesting point. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, you're still talking about your week, and we've went on a tangent.
Yeah, we did. So, yeah, so there's – I have a good outlook on where things are and where things are going, and I feel good about what the things that I'm doing right now. I feel really, really – glad to be able to do the things I'm doing.
What are some things you think need to change?
I think I've already talked about this on the podcast a lot. I don't know, I actually know for sure if I have, but I've been really working on this whole giving people more freedom, and in so much as I'm not, like, micromanaging things as much,
yeah,
which has been really good for me. Like, it's not, like, yes, good for them, but also good for me, because I'm actually working on this thing I've been saying I need to work on for a long time, and I'm finding it challenging but very uplifting too. Like, I'm really feeling good about it. Some days it feels like I'm pulling what little hair I have left out.
Buddy, that's a mystery.
but right now I feel good about everything, and just meeting with other pastors is always a good reminder of how good things are and how good I got it.
Yeah. What about when you meet with me? What does that remind you of?
It reminds me of this morning when we had a conversation when you had no pants on. That's not true.
Keep that. Yeah, let's. Yeah, keep that. Don't ever say that to anybody else ever again. Okay, I'm already living in my pastor's basement.
Yeah, and you know,
one split of the church difference. This would be weird.
Yeah, you should really come to the gym with me and Eli sometime. Well, you're never home on time. We go really early.
I mean, why should I do that?
Because it would be fun, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want to see how much you can lift.
Oh, I could lift more than you.
You think you could lift more than me?
Yeah. How much can you bench?
I'm pretty strong, brother. No, we're going easy. I think I benched 130 on Monday or Wednesday or whenever we did chest stuff.
At my peak, I could do like 160, which isn't a lot. I have working man strength.
Yeah.
Okay. I have practical strength.
Yeah. Like early to rise, early to bed strength.
Yeah. I would do that. But yeah, my job's not as like forgiving. And I'm realizing that now that I'm trying to go to Cincinnati for literally a day and a half.
Yeah.
Or a day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. Well, if your boss gets past our terrible sound quality and listens to this episode, he's going to be really disappointed in you. Anyway.
Shots fired. I can't get him to listen. And I don't know if I wanted to listen to our last one because I don't know if I said bad things about him.
No, I never know if I'm always a little concerned. But then I remember that there's not a ton of people listening. So it's fine. It'll be fine.
Yeah. We haven't really seen much growth on this thing, have we?
It actually has gotten a lot better since I've remembered to submit to YouTube.
Remember it is an interesting way of putting that. You came to this conclusion on your own, huh?
I was reminded by somebody who was like, you haven't had a YouTube video on there in a while. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that I have to push this button.
That was me, bro.
Oh, it was?
That was me.
I thought somebody else told you that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was still me. I was the messenger.
It was you that told me, but that doesn't mean...
I was the mercury.
That doesn't make it a unique idea from you.
That's
it wasn't a Zach original.
That's apostolic succession, brother.
Yeah, that's how it works. And we got there. What was that?
What do we want to talk about today?
Well, you did tell me that you want to talk about the mystery.
Mystery.
Yeah.
Engage sparkling sound effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just having a conversation with my boy. And he called me to ask my opinion on this verse in Second Chronicles, which I've never read. First or Second or Third or Fourth Chronicles or whatever's going on there. So I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't really get into that, the Old Testament, too much anymore. But it was essentially this verse, I guess he was saying, where the cherubims use their wings to cover the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
You know this verse?
Yeah.
And he was talking to his mom about it, and she was saying that they were statues, like statues put over the Ark of Covenant, like almost like when God puts the flaming sword in the Garden of Eden. You know what I mean?
Well, the flaming sword is not a statue. The cherubim thing probably is, but...
You think the cherubim thing is a statue, not an actual cherubim?
No, the Ark of the Covenant itself has cherubim statues on it.
But the scripture says the cherubim spreads its wings around the Ark of the Covenant. So if it's a statue, how could it spread its wings?
I'd have to show you a picture.
We have a picture of the Ark of the Covenant?
Based on artist renditions of how it's specifically described. Yeah. Have you ever seen Indiana Jones?
All right, brother. This is the problem with the Protestant church.
Is that I get my theology from Indiana Jones? Now look, yeah, see, this is what it's talking about, and this is from the scripture. It's, well, this is an eBay listing for, I don't think it's the real one, but yeah, like that. You see what I'm saying? Cherubim, wings, covering it.
Right, but what is that a picture of?
That's a picture of what it's just how it's described in the Bible. Look, these are all. I don't need the Etsy version. I want a more. It's described in the Bible specifically like this. And this is really good audio when I keep showing you pictures and we get quiet. But, yeah, like that. See? That's there's cherubim covering there with whose wings, what's wings is covering the ark.
Well, I can't find the verse that he was talking about. So I don't know. But anyways, this isn't the point of what I was getting at.
To be clear, though, the flaming sword is not a statue. That's a real thing. Like an angel with a real flaming sword standing there, not a statue.
Right. And I would, I think what I was seeing and what he was telling me is that, you know, some people find it hard to believe in the mysteries of God.
Yeah.
Like Jonah and the whale. Or do you think Jonah or the whale was a statue?
First of all, it's not a whale. It's a big fish.
Which is a whale.
No, no. They're different. Whales are mammals,
Zach. Brother, you're a big fish, first of all. And whales are just big fish.
Whales are mammals. Fish are fish. That's a different thing.
I'm sure fish is not the scientific name for fish.
Aquatic
sapien.
Episcopalian, or whatever they say. Yeah.
But those things are hard to believe, especially from our paradigm. Things like, even to the simplest to a Christian, like the casting out of demons. So I kind of just wanted to talk about, you know, the mysteries.
Do you want me to read this verse in 2 Chronicles?
Yeah.
2 Chronicles chapter 5. Wow, this is a long one. Solomon said, the Lord has been good to me. I dwell in the dark cloud. I have built a significant temple. Bob, well, we're not going to do all that. Let's see.
I think he said it was verse 8.
Okay. It's 2 Chronicles 5. Then Solomon summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families, to bring up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion to the city of David. And all Israelites came together to the king at that time of the festival of the seventh month. When all the elders of Israel arrived, the priest then brought the ark of the Lord, this is verse 7, of the Lord's covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. The cherubim spread their wings over the place of the ark of the covenant and the ark and its carrying poles. These poles were so long that their ends extended from the ark, could be seen from the front of the inner sanctuary.
All right, pause.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like some cherubim statues.
The lid has cherubims on it. I don't know. Anyway, back to what you were saying. I think this proves your point more than anything.
I think you're a skeptic, dude, and I don't think you believe in the mysteries of God.
Okay, buddy.
But yeah, I mean, in our paradigm, you think of the charismatics, and I sometimes question myself, like, do I just not believe? You know, am I, like, too skeptical? And it's the whole C.S. Lewis thing where he's like, some people take Satan, like, too seriously, and some people don't take him serious enough. So I wonder what the fine line in God's mysteries are, you know?
Do you think it's important for us to know if those are real cherubim or statue cherubim?
Define important. Important to what?
Our spiritual walk.
Sure.
You think so?
I think it's important to believe the truth of what God has done.
So if the ark was under protection of actual cherubim, then how, and I'm not trying to argue with you, because I honestly don't know the answer to this question, but then how would it be able to be stolen by the enemies of Israel?
Maybe they let their guard down, bro.
The cherubim let their guard down?
Maybe they were taking a nap.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it worked.
Maybe the men of the village were coming to try to rape them.
That did happen one time in Sodom. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Then I literally preface by saying this, like, I don't know enough about these like Old Testament things. But I do think it's important that we believe in the mysteries of God without knowing them or understanding them fully.
Yeah.
See, what we're trying to do right now is to understand it. But when I read the verse, Right. If I read the whole thing, surely maybe I'd have a different understanding.
Maybe.
Yeah. And he came to me telling me this. But when I read the New Testament, when I read the Gospels, and I see how the Holy Spirit is portrayed, I see how Jesus is portrayed, and I see, you know, he's praying to the Father, and he says, there's no man good but God. And I see these things that like seem to contradict, you know.
Yeah.
But when I read the whole thing together, I'm like, this is simply a mystery.
Yeah.
A mystery that... And this isn't like some way of me saying like, well, you know, I'm just choosing to believe this. It's like, no, the scripture is obviously showing us that God is this like three person being who is one.
Yeah.
And it's confusing. It's hard to understand, but it's maybe not meant to be understood. But am I willing to throw the mystery of God out so that I can understand him?
Surely not.
I think not.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I think there's a lot of things that we can overanalyze. And I've talked with several people about this over the last couple of weeks, of things that I don't think there are some things that we just have to have faith in that we don't truly understand, or maybe we can't really put to words. You know, so like when we've had different arguments about the Eucharist, and sometimes I feel like we're saying the same things just from different perspectives. And I think that that's one of those things where it's like, it's hard to really explain, one, what we believe, but what we mean by it when we say that we believe a certain thing about it. And I think it's the same with the Trinity. It's impossible for us to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. And many have tried, and many have failed, and many have sounded like modalists.
What do you mean, bro? It's the egg, the yolk, and the...
That's the modalist.
The juicy white stuff.
Yeah, that's the modalist thing. I personally think the human being, the experience of a human, like the you know, mind, body, and spirit, that is a pretty good example. But again, that can be somewhat modalist in its description also.
I think the easiest way to understand these mysteries is to live the faith, live out the faith. You know how I understand the Trinity? When I pray to the Father with the help of the Holy Spirit.
You're literally just quoting C.S. Lewis now, and I love it.
Wait, but no, I'm not. I mean, I'm literally seriously talking.
Okay.
I don't even know this quote by C.S. Lewis.
Oh, you don't?
No. Okay. But every time I pray now, I think of when Jesus says, you don't even know what you need. I'm paraphrasing super hard here, but he's like, you don't even know what you need. Your Father in heaven knows what you need before you speak it.
Yeah.
When I pray now, it's not even like me talking to Jesus or me talking to the Father. It's like I'm praying because of Jesus by the means of the Holy Spirit to the Father. But nonetheless, they're all the same. You know, some people will say like, I serve Jesus and God.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I see what you're saying. You're saying Jesus and the Father, but that's a contradiction.
Yeah.
Right. But it's, am I going to harp on somebody for that? No, because it's a mystery. You know what I mean? And if they don't understand it how I understand it, they're dumb. No, I'm just kidding.
But see, there's mysteries like that. Like, you know, the means of grace and the Eucharist and the Trinity, things like that are complicated and hard to understand and even harder to explain. And then there's mysteries like, how do we reconcile certain things with God's character? Because this week I really got into the imprecatory psalms. Are you familiar with this? They're basically the psalms where David's like, please kill my enemies, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes like considered like curses or like things like that. It's sometimes hard to reconcile that. I met somebody today who was down at the courthouse protesting
what? ICE?
No,
Iran?
No, none of that. Oh. They were protesting, and really, not protesting is probably the wrong word. They had signs drawing attention to the failure of the court system in something. And so basically, this person's someone that this person knew, a relative of this person, had been killed by someone in a completely different state, by someone that was I don't know how you explain it, but like let loose while during their trial here, with the stipulation that they wouldn't leave the state.
And they left the state.
And they left the state and they killed someone. And so now this person's like, this would not have happened had you locked this person away while you were waiting their other trial, you know?
Okay.
And, It's big news. It's kind of all over. But these people were over there.
All over the Martinsville community page on Facebook.
Yeah, but it was like on like the local Fox affiliate news too and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's been a big story. But so I met these people and I was thinking about that. Like, yeah, you want justice in that. And then something interesting about this is, the person who did this, the criminal who should not have been loose in the first place and then killed someone, then either intentionally or not, drove their car into a semi and died.
Oh.
And so it's like now this person never gets what they would feel like is like true earthly justice, right?
Yeah, because
that person's dead, but that doesn't bring this other person back, and it doesn't really bring to justice the person. It's just how it works out.
Well,
it does, but I was thinking about that, and then
literally brings him to justice,
right? And then thinking about these Psalms, and it's like, well, how do we reconcile that with God's character? But really, we can, because God says that vengeance belongs to Him,
yeah,
and that He is just. And that we need to be patient with His justice, because when He's not swiftly enacting justice on someone and by our terms, He's being patient, and He's not. It's not that He's being silent or not listening. He's just He is taking His perfect time.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring this up. I'm glad you talked about that. My friend told me that he had a friend that died when. He was young. He's like, this guy was like a really good kid. He was religious, is the word he uses. And I get what he means by that. He believed in God. And he's talking about this kid and how he died, and how he said there's a verse in the Bible that says, God will take you before you do something like too bad. And I was like, I don't know if that's really a verse in the Bible, but, I think that could be like an act of prevenient grace.
Yeah.
But I can understand how, like, if I didn't know about that, and I think, like, a secular person, like, how could God let a young man who hasn't even experienced life, he hasn't even got to have a family or a wife, yeah, kids, yeah, he hasn't got to own a house, he hasn't got to do this or that or this or that, and God just takes him away? God just lets him die?
Yeah.
I'm not God.
Yeah. That's a difficult thing to reconcile.
I'm not God, but I also don't know what his life would have been like if he didn't die.
Right, right.
This kid could have been homeless in the streets smoking crack.
Yeah.
Which, no shame to anybody that's doing that. I doubt that they're listening to the podcast.
If you're listening to the podcast, maybe pause it for a second, get everything else figured out, and then you can come back and listen.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like maybe a bigger issue. Don't be listening to the podcast at this time.
But, like, same thing with babies. I was talking to my supervisor about babies, and he's like, you know, I think babies go to heaven, but I don't know where that's at in the Bible. And I was reading today in Matthew where Jesus, I think the disciples ask who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And Jesus brings a little child to him.
Yeah.
And then you think of like when, who killed the Canaanites? Who slaughtered the Canaanites? Was it the Canaanites?
The Amalekites.
Amalekites. The Amalekites slaughter the Canaanites, and you think, how could God command this tribe to go kill every woman, man, and child?
Yeah.
Well, what if these children were going to grow up to sacrifice their babies?
Yeah.
And to cut themselves in honor of these gods, and to do terrible things, and slaughter and murder people. And never have
an opportunity to come to the realization of the real Creator God.
I'm not God.
Yeah.
I don't see the full picture.
Yeah, that's a common.
But that's a mystery. That's not. That is a mystery. I'm not giving you an answer.
Right.
I'm telling you, I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. There's similarly, you know, you're talking about things that are not necessarily in the Bible. I think the best example for what your friend was talking about baby, well, your supervisor or whoever was talking about babies going to heaven. The best example of that is, I believe, in the books of Samuel, when David, when his infant child dies, and he says, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him. I feel like that
that's
is that. I think that's probably the best example of someone who had a good understanding of where children go. And I think that, I mean, I say that, you know, somewhat biased, because I did use that text to preach at a baby's funeral. So it is, it was kind of, that was the first funeral I ever did.
Bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you even say? Like,
yeah, it was tough. Then, you know, it was interesting because my dad did not know the people, the family of that person, but he, my dad came to that funeral to support me because he knew it was going to be hard. But then he said, it's funny because then, a few months after that, I did his funeral. So my track record for funerals is pretty hard ones right out the gate.
Yeah.
But he told me, and I've had multiple pastors tell me this, that, the hardest ones are, like teenagers, especially when it's like something like tragic and senseless, and
because they're at the age of accountability.
Because it does seem so senseless. Like when it's like a drug overdose or a drinking and driving accident or something. You know what I mean? Like something is like completely avoidable. That's what I've heard are the hardest ones to do. And thank God I've never had to preach that kind of funeral yet. But
still time for me.
Definitely, I've definitely been to those funerals, you know, as a teenager myself. And
if I died and you did my funeral, would you like burn incense and have icons for me or no?
If you want that, but you'd have to have some kind of pre-planning in on
I'm telling you right now.
I was going to say it doesn't count, but it's recorded. So I guess, that's
play
official.
This podcast.
That's official. That's official. I played recordings of people singing at their own funeral. So it'd be like that. Yeah.
That's
We just play the podcast at a funeral.
I feel like that would be uncomfortable.
I don't know. Family wanted it. So I'm pretty accommodating with those things.
That's crazy that your first funeral was a baby. And then a few months later it was your dad. How many funerals did you do between that?
One or two, not very many.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet it's hard to do a funeral when you know that they weren't a believer.
I have done several funerals now. Definitely the easiest ones are people who I like knew without a, like as much as you can humanly know that they're a strong believer.
It's almost like a celebration, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Vodi Bakum, rest in peace. He has this sermon where he talks about how the greatest honor of a pastor is to shepherd someone from their flock into eternity.
Yeah.
But it's heavy and it's hard. But honestly, from like like that's talking about like the emotionally difficult part of funerals. The hardest funeral from like a job perspective is ones you don't know. Occasionally, I'll get a phone call from a funeral home because I know all the funeral directors, you know, and they'll call me, hey, I don't have somebody to do this funeral, or no, they don't have a preference of someone to do a funeral. Could you come do this funeral at the funeral home? And I don't know the person. I know nothing about them. That's the hard. Those are the hard ones because I'm like, I have to talk to someone in the family who I also don't know. While they're dealing with like a really heavy grieving time and just like try to gently.
You're like, did they go to church? You have this checklist. Did they go to church every Sunday?
Yeah, like,
pray? Did they go to Bible study? How many Bible studies a year do they miss?
Try to gently glean information about their loved one that's passed. It's just not, it's not my strong point. And so I just don't prefer to do those.
What do you think about purgatory?
I don't believe in purgatory.
Not at all. You don't think there's a chance?
No. Well, I don't believe in purgatory in the sense... how do I word this? I don't believe in purgatory in the sense of like...
Can somebody be saved after they die?
No. I don't know. I don't think so. But I also don't know what happens in the last moment between their last breaths. You know what I mean? That's always been a hard thing for me. Is like, God can do anything in that last moment. And we could have no idea. Do you know the creator of Dilbert? Are you familiar with comic strip Dilbert?
I think so.
A guy with like his glasses or his eyes.
Cartoony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creator of Dilbert died this week. And he was like known as like a staunch atheist for a really long time. But in the last few weeks of his life, he came to Christ and like confessed that he was wrong about all of it and all this stuff. And then he recently passed away, and his wife's talking about like his salvation journey and the end of his life and all this stuff. And so I don't know. Anything can happen.
That's so unfair. I have to be a Christian my whole life.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like, you know, when Jesus talks about the 11th hour workers. Yeah. That's what he's talking about.
11th. Oh, yeah. I just read that parable this morning.
Yeah, when they get paid the same wage.
I always thought that
was
interesting.
And then he's like, look, buddy, you know what you signed up for. You agreed to it.
I always thought that was... But I put that in my perspective. I would be pissed.
Yeah, but that's kind of the whole point is, like, you can't be. Like, you should be happy for them. Because it's like, yeah, it's a bummer, but you got what you agreed to get.
Yeah, the reason I would be upset is out of, like, pride.
Yeah, so it's like a fairness thing.
Yeah.
And jealousy and comparison are definitely pride sins. I had someone come to me after, so I preached this message about pride this week.
Mystery of pride.
And I had someone ask me, come up to me after this message and say, hey, you forgot a few points. I was like, okay. And they're like, you didn't talk about jealousy at all. And I was like, well, there was a lot of pride sins I didn't talk about, but most of them are pride sins. But yeah, I guess jealousy is one of the obvious ones, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure, because it comes from a place of like, I did all this stuff. I deserve what they got, or I deserve better than what they got, you know?
Yeah, the prodigal son.
Yeah, yeah, all of it. That's kind of the whole thing. But back to purgatory. That's a hard question for me to answer because as a Protestant, I would obviously say no.
But you read The Great Divorce, right?
Right. And I do love C.S. Lewis, but I think that's definitely one of his more fiction-y fictions. But what I will say is where we go when we die is not the final destination for any of us.
It's a resting place.
So whatever that is, I don't know what you call that. But
Abraham's bosom.
But there's no one
/ purgatory
in, you know, what we would consider hell right now. There's no one in what we would consider heaven right now in terms of the eternal place that will be.
So aren't you just saying purgatory?
No.
That is what you're doing.
I'm not saying purgatory.
This is like when we argue about the Eucharist.
No, because they're not still currently trying to vie for their position in eternity. It's sealed already. They're just not there.
I just think, wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice? Yes, it would.
It would be nice if... I love the Catholic priests that are like, God have mercy on his soul.
Sure, so I love that.
After they're dead.
Yeah.
Dead, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Well, they're not dead. Their soul's not dead. Their soul is somewhere else, and their soul is like conscious.
Yeah, you know, and in the early years of that, they were saying, God rest his soul. Now pay me so I can send him to
heaven.
That
was not the early years, brother. That was the late years of it all.
I would argue we're in the late years, buddy.
I hope. I hope Jesus is coming back soon. Because honestly, bro, I've been thinking about losing weight, man, and that is going to be hard.
Losing weight is going to be... It's hard to get motivated to lose weight when you just know that Jesus is coming back.
If he just came back, I wouldn't have to do it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I wouldn't have to slave away at a job that is less than ideal. Not the worst job.
Just in case your supervisor is listening.
No, we talk about this all the time. He's always trying to convince me that it's a good job. Life's just hard, man. I'm ready for... it's almost selfish, I think, in a way. You know, I was talking to my friend on the phone, and he said, you know, I never wanted to live past 35. And he's like, you know, all these, and life is a mystery in itself. He's like, all these things that have happened to me, he's like, these breakups, these car accidents, these this divorce I went through, all these things that I've been through. Why'd you laugh at that? He's like, all these things I've been through.
Because you were kind of like chuckling as you're, and you're smiling as you're talking about it. It's funny because
I'm thinking of the idea of him saying, all of these things have made me to be where I am now. And he said, I'm at a good place.
Yeah.
He said, when I was young and wanted to die at 35, I never thought I'd be at a good place.
Yeah.
That's a mystery, bro. It's a mystery that growing up, my life was bad. I look at my life now and it's not all that bad, but growing up it was bad. My dad was addicted to drugs. My mom was addicted to Indians online. my brother was addicted to drugs. Our life was crazy. But I would have never had true peace if not for the chaos. And that is a mystery.
I mean, the first time we really, really talked, you were telling me about like a Wild Wild West trailer park shootout.
So that was the first time we talked?
I think so. Like one of the first times. And I was like, dang, this guy's hard.
The same day, bro. I went to work, dude. I'm like, no, I think because I remember this because I tried to come to the church and you were at home or something. And you were like, just come to my house. And I was like, nah, man, I'll talk to you later. But yeah, bro, that was after I was a Christian too, or I don't know. I'm still being made a Christian. Whatever. Once saved, always saved. but yeah, if not for these things, I wouldn't be who I am, bro. And it's hard to see, even right now, where I think my life is so bad, dude. I've been in this like complacent mind state instead of like seeing like the mystery of how God is using these things that are seemingly bad, and I can't see how they could possibly be good.
Yeah.
But they make us better. And we wonder, like, God, if I was God, everything would just be good. You wouldn't have to work for it. You wouldn't have to experience bad to have good things. If I was God...
Yeah.
We're not.
If you were God, I'd be an atheist.
If I was God, there'd be no water. We would just have white monster.
Moses hits the rock and white monster comes out.
This is God sending down Zen manna from the heavens.
Oh, dude, that's disgusting. You are the like epitome of like white boy. You're like...
What does this white boy meme that's going around?
Like how white girls like their pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah.
White boys like their white monster and Zins.
I don't get it, bro. I mean, Zins are stimulating for the brain. They help with erectile dysfunction.
I love the... okay. I don't know how you know that, but I love that the white monster is like the go-to with the Zins, though. It's like I was trying to explain to you before. Like, it's like when people like get extra fries and mega-size their meal, but then they're like, but a Diet Coke, please. It's like that. You're like... I'm getting the Zins. I'm eating these Zins like they're candy, but no sugar in my monster. I'm brother, not that kind of a maniac.
Brother, I know you ain't talking. I seen you put zero sugar whipped cream in three cookies from the AA recovery meeting in your milkshake, bro, in your protein shake. I know you ain't talking, bro.
When you blend it up, it's fine. You blend out all the calories, Zach.
You don't want to cook the nutrients out of it.
I've been microwaving my eggs to not butter them. Like, you know how when you fry an egg, you have to butter it?
Yeah.
When you microwave it, it turns out like literally like a McDonald's egg. It's like round and perfect for a sandwich and fluffy. But the only problem is I think that might just be nuking all of the nutrients out of it. I'm not really sure.
I think that's a lie, bro. People have said a long time that microwaves are bad for you, but I don't think they are.
Yeah, I think that's wrong. There's no way that microwaves are bad for you. There's no way that Monster is bad for you.
Yeah. What else? What else?
Let's keep it going.
What else do you want to poo on?
You know,
for, huh?
Listen.
I could have worse addictions.
Listen, I've been using. Here's a bad addiction. I've been using ChatGPT to keep track of my macros for my dieting.
Yeah.
And I decided to add, just out of curiosity, to add my caffeine to it. have it calculate my caffeine with everything I'm doing as well. And when I tell you that ChatGPT has become so judgy about my caffeine intake,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. I'm not even putting my drinks in there anymore. I don't want to hear it. You know what it did to me yesterday? It said that because I was like over 400 milligrams of caffeine, which is a significant amount.
It depends.
It said, whatever you do, don't have any more caffeine today, and you need to drink water so that you stay hydrated. And I'm like, brother, you're a robot. How much water do you drink?
Right. Judge not, lest you be judged by the same measure you judge with, bro. Like,
yeah. Don't be telling me I need to hydrate, you analytical AI. I don't have.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that. I was the one that told you to keep track of my caffeine.
You just text back to ChatGPT. You're like, I'm not praying for your soul anymore. Like,
listen here, brother. Don't you tell me what I can and can't do when I ask you to keep track of something for me.
It's like, sorry, Massa Warner.
It was crazy. I could not believe the lip I was getting from this AI about my caffeine intake. It's crazy.
Bro.
But yeah, I should probably slow down on the caffeine. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, bro. I feel like I drink Monsters while I'm going to bed.
You know, it did. I asked, then I asked, what's the big deal about caffeine? And then it gave me this whole Googled list of things that are bad about caffeine, you know. And one of the things is it said, even if you can go to sleep after drinking caffeine, you're probably not getting good sleep. And I'm like, how do you know what kind of sleep I'm getting?
I get great sleep.
Yeah. I know. I couldn't wake you this morning.
Bro, I was already scrolling YouTube Shorts when you walked in. Like, brother, I'm wide awake.
Well, if you need me to wake you up tomorrow, you're out of luck because Fridays I sleep in. So.
Bite your tongue.
And then I'm going to go to the gym. And then I'm going to get buff. And, yeah.
We should do a night gym.
I don't know how late the gym I go to is open. Probably 11.
Brother, you go to Planet Fitness.
Yeah. It's not 24-hour fitness.
I'm pretty sure Planet Fitness is open 24 hours.
No, I know for a fact they don't open before 5 a.m.
Is the Planet Fitness here pretty jumping?
Yeah. So right now it's just now starting to die off. You know how it is.
Yeah.
But January 1st, it was jam-packed. Everybody's in there.
I love that you position your story like you're like a gym rat and you have to deal with the New Year's.
Brother, I've been doing this for a couple years. So
what?
I've been going to the gym for a couple years.
A couple years?
Yeah.
I've only known you for a couple years.
I've been going to the gym since December, not this last December, or the I just finished my third December. I started in December of 23.
I would argue you've only really been going hard, though, since you've been working with Eli.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I've been consistently going every other.
You've been going to the gym like when you go to the bathroom to poop and you only fart. That's how you've been going to the gym.
No, I've been going 3 days a week, working out for a solid. I mean, we got a solid workout going. So,
I'm proud of you, man.
But it kind of hurts sometimes. But I love doing triceps, dude. Triceps are my favorite.
What are your triceps?
The back part of your arm.
Oh, why?
I don't know. The way it feels when that thing gets pumped up is like, it's the best.
I love back. Back and shoulders, dude.
I hate legs. Can't do it.
Oh, I love legs.
I want nothing to do with leg day.
I need one of those crunch machines, dude, where you like lay on your back. But the ones at Planet Fitness suck.
I don't know. I've never.
You don't know
used
what I'm
them.
Talking about? Where you push the weight with your legs.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want one of those.
Yeah, I don't know, man. We're just sounding like a bunch of gym rats. But anyway, make sure if you know, I want all our fans out there, make sure you're drinking plenty of caffeine.
Make sure you're staying dehydrated.
Stay in hype. That's not the truth. But God's truth won't back down, and neither should you. Stay focused, stay aggressive, and stay relentless for God's glory.